Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Five-A-Side with me, Jim Campbell. Today, my guest is Jacob Hawley, a rising star on the UK stand-up circuit, host of the award-winning BBC sound show Jacob Hawley on Drugs, and one-time co-host of a certain mic, Porky Parry. Now, welcome, Jacob.
Thanks, mate.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to learn about Mike Parry, actually. What was it like to work with such a national figure?
Yeah, figure's the word.
He's a national figure, isn't he?
I felt you veer towards treasure and then veer away from treasure.
Yeah, it's like my vocabulary stepped in. It's like, no, that's not quite what you mean.
That's not what he is. He, I mean, he's a living, breathing meme. Do you know what I mean? The funny thing is, no one really understands what he... friends of mine who aren't from the UK, I try and explain what he is.
Mm.
It's very difficult. He's a man who went viral for eating raw cinnamon.
Yes.
Previous to that, he's had quite a strange checkered broadcasting career.
A big fallout with his former co-presenter.
And also, he's been present at some really strange times in history. So he was the one who reported the death of Princess Diana.
Really?
He was the first person to put an arm around Eric Cantona after he drop-kicked that Crystal Palace fan.
So he's like Forrest Gump.
Yeah, exactly.
So just in case there is anybody that isn't aware of Mike Porky Parry, as Jacob's explained, he's a sort of veteran talk sport presenter, or certainly was, and he went viral for, as you say, spooning loads of cinnamon into his mouth, basically coughing it all up and saying, I've passed the cinnamon challenge, even though he demonstrably hadn't. That's very much the point of the video. So, yeah, very, very strange British cult figure, and I'm delighted to get a little peek into the curtain of how he works.
This is one of the fullest tablespoonfuls of cinnamon I've seen in the various challenges that I've seen recorded. Mine's going to be the best of all, and I bet you I won't even balk, OK? I won't even balk because I've been trained to take pain, OK? I've taken pain all my life. Here we go. I'm told there should be an explosive reaction. There won't be from me. I'm going to count you down. 3, 2, 1.
The sort of story behind that, I've just always found him quite funny. I used to listen to the two mics on TalkSport, and when they fell out, I found it hilarious. So I was...
Step in.
I was stepping in. And also, at the time, this was sort of around the time that I was writing my last sort of stand-up show. And within that, I've got a joke sort of taking the mick out of comedians who do TV shows with their parents,
yes,
where they go on a sort of travelogue kind of thing.
Mm.
I thought it'd be quite funny to do a kind of piss take of that, where it'd just be me and Porky going to Calais together and arguing about
on
Brexit.
A booze cruise.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
So I was just drunk one day and I just DM'd him. And I was like, do you want to do this? Emailed me straight away. Absolutely, yes. Meet me at the Nag's Head pub in central London tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
Bring cinnamon.
We'll bring a producer. That's what he said.
Seriously.
And so I did. I brought the producer of my podcast, a guy called Nick. He's never listened to TalkSport in his life. He had no idea what I was talking about. I was like, trust me, this could be quite... And I'd written up a pitch that night when I was pissed. I wrote up a pitch. So I showed Nick. I was like, look, I think this could be quite a good thing. He was like, all right. We went and met him the next morning, 10 o'clock. You know, he said, come and do my podcast with me. So I said, as a sort of fan, I sort of went, all right.
Yeah.
And before you know it, he's calling me most days, sometimes at crazy times in the morning and the evening, singing to me down the phone. I started this strange friendship with Porky Parry. Lasted, I don't know, what, 6 months, 7 months? Went badly.
Yeah,
as you might imagine.
Do you want to talk about how that ended?
I don't mind. I mean, I don't know whether he will listen to this. I don't know. I mean, basically, I was doing... I don't know, this is probably quite boring for him. I was doing it all unpaid. Well, one day he was like, look, I want to do a live show at the Hen and Chickens Theatre in Islington. I was like, okay, that's on a Saturday night. That's kind of when I make my living.
Yes.
So, you know, you kind of need to... Also, a lot of the sort of back and forth I had with him on these podcasts was about the fact that he was a millionaire. But he sort of refused to pay me any money to do this live show. And I was like, well, I can't do it. And so he was like, well, that's the end of that.
Yeah.
And I just thought, all right. So I mean, that was my sort of... It is kind of quite Forrest Gump, the way it was just this weird episode in my life with this strange person that it's always I've just listened to on the radio. So yeah, that was 6 months of that. I thought some of the stuff I made with him was quite funny. I thought some of the podcasts I managed to get, he's a funny guy. He's kind of got that Carl Pilkington thing where he's very aware of what's funny about himself.
Yeah.
He knows how to play the character of who he is. Do you know what I mean?
I've given you a chance to air some dirty laundry there,
sure.
Jacob. But should we crack on to your team?
Let's do it. Let's talk about this five-a-side team of mine.
Yeah, so who have you gone for in goal?
I should say I was very aware when putting this team together. Like I'm not Garth Crooks. Do you know what I mean? I'm not here to put together a team that's actually going to be great at football.
I mean, even Garth Crooks struggles with that.
I mean,
quite
yeah.
Often.
I mean, the formations he's come up with would give Guardiola a headache. Like so, some of the stuff he's put together over the years. My goalkeeper is Wojciech Szczęsny.
Nice.
Who to be fair is actually a genuinely brilliant goalkeeper.
He is, and this sort of gets forgotten about him a lot, I think.
Yeah.
Possibly because he was at Arsenal at a period when they had a lot of sort of calamitous situations. He's got sent off a few times here and there. The smoking thing,
and also he probably lost us a League Cup final.
And
against
that.
Birmingham in 2011, I think.
That was awful.
Yeah, but it was him and Koscielny. I mean, Koscielny was another one where really good footballer, very consistent... You know, that strange thing where he managed to be a good defender in an Arsenal shirt.
Yeah.
But his most memorable moments were really big.
High profile.
Catastrophe.
Calamities.
Yeah, in big games. But I've got a mate of mine who's Italian, massive Juventus fan. And he's like, Szczęsny's incredible. He's like, we didn't think we'd find a keeper this good to follow Buffon. Like, Szczęsny's a great keeper, but he's also hilarious. Like
yes.
he's so funny. The way he winds up Tottenham fans.
Even now.
And I love that. I like Serge Gnabry is another good example of that. Someone who was obviously a big part of that kind of like Wenger youth project of the noughties and just loves winding up Tottenham fans.
Yes.
Szczęsny breaks my heart a little bit because he was sort of like the naughty kid who, if he'd have been in a good school, would have done fine. But because he was in what was at the time a school that Ofsted would have closed down when thinking about the Arsenal team in the noughties, that's kind of why it went wrong. I mean, I say of the noughties, he was the teens, obviously.
Yeah, I keep getting that wrong.
He was the teens, yeah. But he I think he left in 2016. We brought in Petr Cech. In my opinion, one of the worst goalkeepers of all time, Petr Cech. I can't stand.
Do you mean in an Arsenal shirt or just
shirt,
general?
Yeah, in an Arsenal. That's, obviously in a Chelsea.
Big talk.
In a Chelsea shirt, he was obviously
firing shots goalkeeper. All over the place.
Mate, I've never seen someone who seems to like the space between him and his near post seems to somehow get bigger every single game, Petr Cech. But no, yeah, I he was I loved Chesney. I absolutely adored Chesney. And, you know, Fabianski as well, from that same era, who is now, like, again, one of the better performing Premier League goalkeepers. Mm.
Well, this is the thing, I think, with a goalkeeper, isn't it? Whoever they are. I mean, David De Gea had this as well. It's the mistakes are amplified as a goalkeeper. And as a young player, they are just an almost certainly inevitable part of your development. And if you're at a big club when you're a young goalkeeper, it's just likely to happen. And that reputation is quite hard to shake, isn't it?
Mm, absolutely. But it is a thing where you have to go, that they are going to make those mistakes. Also, they should be worth loads of money. Mm. Like they got, how much did we sell Chesney for? Like, what, 10 million?
Some very Arsenal amount of money.
It was a joke. And he's Juve's like first choice keeper. So, yeah, I mean, he was one. His departure from Arsenal was one of those that really upset me. I think he'd be a really good five-a-side keeper, because I played five-a-side before, and a big part of it, especially from a goalkeeper's point of view, is being able to wind up the opposition. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're a piss taker as a goalkeeper in five-a-side, it adds a complete extra level.
Yeah, I mean, that confidence as well, given that the goal's pretty damn small. Mm. If you've got a confident goalkeeper, it can rattle you a bit. And also, I very rarely play five-a-side, but when I do, I play in goal. And if you get a couple of decent saves under your belt, you grow in confidence. It's like you physically grow and you start filling up that goal. And I imagine Chesney does not lack for confidence, shall we say, to start off with. So, yeah, I think one of the things I find so funny about him is, again, I guess it's that growing up in public thing, isn't he? Because the smoking thing, a lot was made of it. Arsenal had lost 2-0 to Southampton. He was at fault for, if I remember rightly, arguably even both goals. And then he was caught smoking in the shower afterwards. As you say, he's like one of those naughty kids from school.
Yeah.
But he's somehow playing for Juventus now.
But because he was genuinely really talented. But it's exactly as you say. He was doing all the things that, like, a young player should do. I think he's almost a bit of a throwback. Do you know what I mean? I think he's quite 90s in his attitude.
Yes.
You could imagine him being part of that sort of, like, Tony Adams, Paul Merson team.
Oh, very much so.
Do you know what
so.
I mean? He's quite, like, you could imagine him making, like, a really bad rap song in 1996.
Yeah,
do you know
I missed
I mean?
That.
Yeah, I did. Well, yeah, he's just a bit of a throwback. He's a genuinely good footballer, and his personality, especially for a goalkeeper, there aren't many goalkeepers that are quite as fun as him. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
It's a very serious role, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got to sort of concentrate and keep your head on, but I suppose off the pitch that doesn't necessarily count in the same way. Do you remember when he got sent off against Bayern Munich and he just made a wank away at the crowd?
Like,
again, very 90s.
Very 90s.
So the game's quite sanitised now, isn't it?
Yeah,
Game's gone.
Yeah, don't want to be one of those dickheads, but you know what I mean? It's certainly a bit of an argument about that. So I've gone ahead and made the assumption that you're not putting yourself in goal.
No.
So that brings us to where you're going to be on the pitch yourself. Mm. What type of player are you? And what are you doing? Are you directing traffic? Are you playing up front? Are you just happy to be there?
I'm very much happy to be there. Do you know what? Growing up, I was a decent enough footballer until about the age of 12 or 13.
At which point
I got this tool.
A growth spurt set you back.
I went from being sort of nippy and technical to being tall and lanky, and to this day, like, my brain can't quite keep up with what my feet are doing.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
So you feel like you're smaller than you are, even now?
Yeah, very. I suspect if I was to get diagnosed, I might be dyspraxic or something like that. Do you know? I just don't really have much control of these limbs.
Yeah. I feel exactly the same. Football's hard, isn't it?
Football
the ball
is
does
so
not
hard.
Do what your foot
and
tells
you,
it to.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I often leave it big gaps between playing now. Like, I'll like not play for like a year or two. And then I'll play and I'll remember being as sort of in control of things as I was when I was like 12.
Yeah.
And then the ball just doesn't be where you want it to be. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It'll be behind your leg or someone will pass it to you and you go, oh, I'll just dribble with it. And no, you won't.
Yeah.
You know, it's over there now.
Completely. Because when you daydream about playing football, you've got all the time in the world.
Yeah.
But the stress and the anxiety of players who actually play the game regularly bearing down on you when you've got the ball, it's hard.
Man. And it's also, like, you very often forget that there is actually fitness involved. Like,
yes.
I actually dream about football at night. I always dream about playing football at night. It's, you know, great. I'm not exhausted in the dreams.
No. And so are these. I dream about playing football as well. I dream that I play for Arsenal.
Yeah.
But it is literally as if I was playing for Arsenal now, and that I'm going to get found out.
And
it's more of a nightmare. But so are yours more positive than that?
I dream of being competent.
Right. So I feel like somewhere in the middle of both of our dreams is Carl Jenkinson's reality. Or certainly it was for a long time. But
yeah, so if I was to be out there, when I did play, I was always I was a sort of cut in from the left, right foot, whether that was sort of right winger or sort of central midfielder.
So that's where you would be in this
that's
team.
That's where I'd be roughly. So there'd be saying five aside, whenever I've played five aside, it's either been sort of like a diamond or something. So yeah, on the left of a diamond, I suspect I would say it'd be.
So with that in mind, let's go for your first outfield player. Who have you got?
So the first one I've got, and I changed this up a few times. The first one who I would have, and I'd say he would be, I'm going to change the formation actually. I'm going to go for two banks of two. So there'd be two of us playing deep, two of us playing up front. The one who I'd have next to me would be Matteo Guendouzi.
Okay. That is a rogue choice. It is a rogue choice.
I have to say, I think that in 15, 20 years' time, it might be a more common choice. Because one of the maddest things about Guendouzi is, again, he's actually, he's very Chesney in a sense that he's insane.
Yes.
But sort of against all odds, he's actually a really good footballer.
Well, it seems to be going that way. I'm going to interject at this point and make it clear to listeners that Jacob has now used up all of his players from one team, because it's not just going to be an Arsenal loving as it threatens to be, because for some reason all comedians support Arsenal.
Really?
It seems that way. Just name one.
Now all I can think of are comedians that I know support Arsenal. Well, I was about to say Tom Lucy, but he supports Arsenal, doesn't he?
Well, I don't know, but there you go. I mean, I feel actually this could be quite a dull feature, couldn't it, if I just name comedians. Oh, one of us does that. But so, yeah, back to Guendouzi. I think, there is an element of chaos to him that would probably suit five-a-side.
There's an element of chaos. I mean, in terms of like how he actually plays football, he can kind of do everything. Like, he dribbles really well. He's quite a good tackler. He's the only thing that I think where he might struggle with five-a-side is he hasn't got a great awareness. He needs a lot more time than most footballers do. He always looks like he's like always a fraction of a second away from being caught on the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the hair.
See, I've wondered this before as well, and not just for him, for any player with a sort of a shock of big hair like that.
Mm.
Does the sort of wobble of the hair make you feel that they're indecisive? Because it makes it look like they're shaking their heads when actually it's just how hair works.
I've got where I watch Arsenal, I've got five black cab drivers who sit on the row in front of me.
Right, so this is in the stadium,
they're incredible. I've been going for two or three years now. I've not seen them enjoy it once. It's very much that whole thing of the game's awful nowadays. It's all blah blah. A good example of this was Iwobi.
Yes.
They didn't really like him. I always really liked Iwobi. They didn't like him, but they would call him Wibble Wobble. Because his hair would go from side to side, and I think that made him think that he was going to fall over.
Yeah,
just because he's he had quite long hair, so it was sort of swaying when he would dribble. So they thought he was going to fall over. I often wonder with Guendouzi, and as you say, with other players with really big hair, David Luiz as well.
Mm.
Is there not a practical thing where someone like you think there's so much science applied to football now? Do you know what I mean? Carbon fiber boots, we've got to make sure they don't stir their tea anti-clockwise three times and only clockwise twice, because then that'll be insymmetrical. And the amount of science applied to football, it does blow my mind that no one says, oh, by the way, you've got loads of hair, that's going to block your peripheral vision.
Yeah. That is an interesting point. I've often wondered that myself. There's surely also a sort of aerodynamism aspect to that as well. Yeah. If you are talking really, really marginal advantages.
Exactly. Yeah. But you hear about, as you say, like the level of attention to details. Try and make. Did you ever used to have long hair?
I did. Yeah.
And like you'll know. I used to have quite long hair. I used to have it sort of curtains around my face, and I always used to think, like, there'd be a lot of times I just couldn't see.
Yeah.
People could sneak up on me a lot easier.
Like, running around playing football is actually chaos, especially if you're going up for headers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Guendouzi never does.
That's why.
That's another thing that would make him good at five-a-side. You're not allowed to kick it over your shoulder, right? So that's another thing. But, I'd love to have him. I think he's genuinely quite a good player. I worry about how much he can actually see. But he's such a dick. Like, he's such a dick.
He is a real wind-up merchant, isn't he?
He got yellow carded by Mike Dean for gesticulating sarcastically. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Against Portsmouth in the cup. Like, amazing.
As a, 19-year-old, 20-year-old? Yeah. Well, that is an impressive level of you know, what's become known as shithousery.
Yeah. And he's also, like, he's definitely hilarious off the pitch. He's got a little brother who looks exactly the same as him. Hair as well, that just goes everywhere with him. He's like, he's got like a little
sidekick.
Yeah, he's got like a mini-me that follows him everywhere. And also, I remember, I think it was the summer that he joined, and he was like 18 or 19, when there was a scandal where all the Arsenal players went to like this London nightclub, and they were all doing the NOS, the balloons, the hippie crack, as the papers call it. Guendouzi was on the floor. he was properly. You can find the pictures.
That hair on a nightclub floor. Oh, it's grim.
He needs to be
lose half of it. Get up.
But no, yeah, he's a good combination of, like, he's hilarious. I think he'd be genuinely really good company, and he is a good footballer. Like, he is a genuinely really good footballer. So yeah, I think he'd be great for five-a-side.
Well, this is the danger, isn't it? Great rugby tackle.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
We could call it Pete and Mark's Colossal Tussle.
But we didn't. We called it Wrestle Me. Wrestle Me, Mark.
Wrestle Me, Peter.
A celebration of all things WrestleMania and beyond. And you may be thinking, I'm not really into wrestling. Well, don't worry. There's something for everyone. To be honest, it's mainly about stuff like this.
So hang on, Easy Lover was the original theme on WrestleMania.
It was. Someone heard it on the radio and went, that sums up everything about WrestleMania to me.
And this.
You can really see the old back acne on test.
Yes.
And this.
Is it worth reminding people of what earthquake John Tenta looked like at 23 years old?
Yeah, I think so.
And this.
For the record, Marty has made it very clear, and I agree and believe him, that he has never, A, had sex with his daughter, or B, wanted to have sex with his daughter.
And the people behind the face paint doing the most unique job in the entire world. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. That's Wrestle Me.
Wrestle Me, Mark.
Wrestle Me, Pete.
So you've gone heavy on the dicks so far. Is this trend going to continue? Who knows?
Who have you got next? It should continue. I'll tell you who I've got next. Well, actually, I don't know whether he is a dick. The one I've got next, and this would be one of the forward line,
mm-hmm.
Is Adrian Mutu.
Again, like, the post-match drink is going to be raucous, isn't it?
Very much what I'm thinking about with this one.
Right, so is this what you've brought to the table
kind
very deliberately?
Of,
you've kind of thought, it's a game of five-a-side, it's meant to be a laugh. How am I going to maximise that laugh?
Exactly. I'm thinking as much about what's going to happen after this as what's going to happen during the actual game itself. I mean, there's a few things I like about Adrian Mutu. First of all, he was one of Chelsea's first like big money moves.
He was, wasn't he? He was part of that initial Abramovich splurge where they signed
Ranieri.
A lot of players very quickly.
Yeah, with Ranieri in charge, where it was like, and you know, some of them, it was like looking back, you go, well, that was kind of sensible. You know, Paulo Ferreira. Ricardo Carvalho, like players like that, you know, even like Iron Robin, you were like, okay, well, people have been talking about him for a long time. You know, there's kind of a reason why you'd buy that player and spend that amount of money. Adrian Mutu was like maybe like the third most expensive striker in the world at the time.
Yes.
He'd scored like 11 goals for Fiorentina.
I think it might have been Inter that he was at before he moved.
But it
raised some eyebrows at the time.
He'd had like an okay season in Serie A. And so he was like one of the first like really big money flops, but then also as you mentioned, I do that podcast about drugs, and in the most recent episodes we've been looking at sort of forms of drug use that you don't often think about. One of them was performance enhancing drugs, and we got a guy called Ed Warner on who used to work for one of the sort of UK anti-doping federations, blah blah. We were sort of talking about, you know, doping in sport. We're talking about, you know, the lengths people go to sort of cheat. And then I sort of said to him, I was like, oh, what about recreational drugs? And he was like, well, people don't really do that in really top level sport because, you know, why would you? It doesn't give you an advantage that you've usually got enough things to sort of, you know, enjoy yourself with that huge amount of money. No one really does that. I said, well, what about Adrian Mutu? You know, it's confirmed that he was using cocaine. And he said, he was like, none of us ever knew why that happened.
So it's like a sort of legendary case.
Yeah, it's like a proper. I mean, when else has it happened? Like,
yeah, it's true, isn't it? You don't, I mean, the obvious, there's the obvious World Cup legend here and there. One in particular stands out, of course.
From the 90s.
But,
from the 90s.
From the 80s and 90s.
80s and 90s, yeah.
But, yeah, it's a particularly strange one, isn't it, that Mutu was busted for that as well. Because he was fined 17 million euros for that. Or not fined even. Like, he basically, Chelsea took him to court and it was decreed that he had to pay them 17 million euros. And he's had a lot of appeals kicked out about it. The most recent one was in 2018. So that implies that, I mean, obviously that's not the sort of money you just have sitting down the back of the sofa, is it? Even if you're a professional footballer. So that, I mean, that's a hell of a lot of money to earn over a career. So, I mean, it might have just completely ruined him, really. Who knows? Like, it's what an awful thing to have hanging over you. But why are you a footballer taking cocaine?
It's insane. Yeah, it's properly insane. It is properly insane. And
although I suppose in five aside,
you can get away with it.
You probably can. Yeah, I think the doping tests are a lot less stringent.
Yeah, where I used to play in Mill Hill, there wasn't much of that. It was it was very much get on and play. But he was quite a good player.
He was a very good player.
I quite like that kind of striker. He was quite a sort of intelligent player. He wasn't the biggest, he wasn't the quickest, but he was good at finding space.
Which is a crucial thing in five-a-side, isn't it? If you've got someone who knows how to use the very limited space you have, then you're at a big advantage. He also served a 6-month ban for doping while at Fiorentina. So he did dabble in performance-enhancing drugs as well when he already owed Chelsea 17 million euros. So I feel like, I don't know if you know much about Gigi Becali, who is the guy that used to own Steaua Bucharest, who is a terrible, terrible guy that does a lot of silly things, but his cousin, Victor Becali, is actually, or certainly was, Mutu's agent. So I feel like reading contracts is maybe not something that Mutu did himself that often. And we've seen it get him in trouble. But then, again, that's probably fine for you, isn't it? That's, you just want him to be there to score some goals and be a laugh afterwards.
Score some goals. And you know, also, a lot of these, you know, five-a-side that I've played in before, there has been cash prizes at the end. I'm not saying... I'm not saying we could make Adrian back his £17 million.
But well, he needs it, doesn't he?
You know, if we,
every little helps.
Every little helps. You know, we can do a round robin at the end of the game and see if we can get some money to help him pay back that money to Chelsea. Yeah.
So. Do a whip round.
Ancora Mutu. Va Mutu, prova a calciare. 2-0. Adrian Mutu ha raddoppiato per la Juventus. Gran gol di Mutu. Ha fatto tutto da solo e ha fatto bene Mutu. Primo gol europeo con la maglia della Juventus per l'ex attaccante del Parma e del Chelsea.
So there is actually another defender that I'll go to first. Mm-hmm. John Terry.
Again, heavy on the knobs.
Yeah.
I feel like you're like I feel like there's a time in life where I can imagine you all hanging around a park bench, like just intimidating strangers when you're all teenagers.
I was about to say that sort of Adrian Mutu is the exception to the knobs, but then it's, like, it's the cokehead with the worst agent in the world. But I mean, John Terry, again, he only retired what, 3 years ago,
something like that, yeah.
And yet, I can't imagine him existing in modern football. Do you know what I mean? Like.
I think he's a kind of timeless player, isn't he? That's why, because he was so all action and so putting his head into places it shouldn't be, both on and off the pitch.
He's another one where I don't like Chelsea. I really don't like Chelsea. I think there's so much to dislike about Chelsea as a club. You know, every set of fans has people who let them down. One thing I don't like about Chelsea is that they are in English football anyway. They're kind of the first proper money club.
Yeah, very much so.
You know,
people talk about Man United being like that in the past, but it is very, very different, isn't it? Because their money all came from their own kind of generation.
You don't want to say it's a meritocracy around United, but it's more so.
Yes.
You know, they were winning titles, then they found ways of generating money and blah 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 blah. But yeah, there's a lot I don't like about Chelsea. But he was sort of one that I would look over. I had a couple of Chelsea players that I like. I really always liked Ida Gudjonsson. There was something a bit Bergkamp about Gudjonsson. But with Terry, it was like I hated how good he was as a defender.
You couldn't deny what a player he was. I think you have to separate a lot of the stories that you hear about John Terry.
Yeah.
Some of which, you know, may or may not be true. And the reputation that he had with the player. If you truly want to kind of appreciate him on a five-a-side pitch, for example, because he was a proper warrior, and he's the defender with the highest amount of goals in the Premier League history as well. 41. A lot of them headers. So
I was
that's
about
useless
to say.
For you, but
well, you say that I remember there was a headed clearance he did for England where he sort of headed. Was he on the floor?
That sounds about right.
He was like laying on the floor for whatever reason. He managed to sort of like use his face to head the ball whilst he was lying down. So he's proved he can complete headers when the ball's only about two feet off the floor. But he was actually technically quite good as well. One of my best mates is a Chelsea fan. He would always remind me, he's like, no, you can actually spray passes.
Yeah,
as well.
His pass completion or his pass sort of accuracy was legendarily high at one point.
Yeah, again, long balls which are useless in front of the side. But I did largely put him in there because, again, he's a bit of a dick. And he's a villain now, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And I can kind of see it rubbing off on some of their players. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, they could use it at times. Let's
well, be fair. Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens with them. But they've got some really good players there. You know, and you look at someone like Tyrone Mings, like the centre half, you think he probably wouldn't be as good if he didn't have Terry coaching him.
Yes.
But I hope he does become a bit of a dick as well. You know.
Well, Tyrone Mings seems very nice, doesn't he?
This
seems
is
a very
the problem.
Good, decent
he's
person,
lovely.
So
he seems like a really lovely guy.
If he can take some of that Terry onto the pitch and just become Tyrone again when he comes off it, maybe that would help.
It's Jekyll and Hyde.
I feel like we can't really talk about Chelsea, or John Terry rather, without talking about his last appearance for Chelsea, because I think people forget this happened because people talk about all the controversy with Wayne Bridge and also the thing with him celebrating the two Chelsea European Cup victories, or the Champions League and Europa League victories when he wasn't playing but had the kit
had
on and
the
all
kit,
that.
Yeah.
But his last appearance for Chelsea, which is when he was subbed off on the 26th minute in a Premier League game against Sunderland, receiving a guard of honour from his teammates in a Premier League game, I think is one of the worst things that's ever happened in the league. It was so self-congratulatory, and apparently he demanded it himself, and it's just, it was so tacky.
I had forgotten about that.
Exactly. Imagine doing something that bad and it being forgotten about because of all the other stuff you've done.
It does.
This is what you've brought into your team.
It does kind of show, though, like, I mean, he again, he's you made the park bench reference.
Mm.
He's the worst bully at the worst school. Do you know what I mean?
Like, it certainly comes across that way.
If he managed to do, you know, the 26th minute because of the shirt number, every player in a Chelsea shirt that day lined up and applauded him off the pitch.
Mm.
The fact that none of them had the sort of gall to sort of stand up and go, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I had actually forgot. I mean, it goes to show that is a rich history of being a dick.
It is.
When something like that can fall back into the sort of into your memory where you don't really remember him doing it. But
quite. So we've got one more outfield player that's an actual footballer.
Mm-hmm.
who you've gone for a more attacking player. And one of the great things about doing this podcast for me has been some of the names that come out of left field, and that you have not disappointed on that front here. Who have you got as your last outfield player?
Former Wigan forward Amir Zaki.
Tell me everything.
Well, for about it's taken me so long. For about 6 weeks, he was the best player in the world.
Yeah.
For 6 weeks. And do you know what? One of the main reasons I really like him is because he is now the perfect frame of reference when in September, your mate says to you, oh my God, have you seen that player at name a recently promoted team?
Yeah.
I don't know if Wigan had just come up that year. It was the Steve Bruce team where they had like Chimbonda. The striker from Honduras, what was his name? I don't know, the central midfielder from Honduras. I don't know, there might have been a couple of them, but it was a fairly decent team, I remember. I think that was when Valencia was there, actually.
Yes, Antonio Valencia was there.
Yeah.
Roddy Yeager was the
striker I was thinking of. Palacios was the midfielder, I was thinking of. So it was a fairly decent team. But Amir Zaki, like, I think he was a summer signing as well. I don't think he'd been with them before.
It was a loan signing. But you're right. He hit the ground running so much that people were comparing him to Alan Shearer.
Yeah, he was on fire. I mean, he was linked with Madrid.
Yeah.
He was Egyptian guy. He was quick. He was bullish. I remember he kind of played a bit like Tevez.
Yeah.
Like, he was really pit bully from the front. He had that thing that, like, modern managers nowadays would love. They were, you know, chased everything. Electric pace, good footwork, just banged goals in. And then, like, United were linked, Madrid were linked, everyone was linked. This guy was it. He's going to be the next big thing. And then I think he stopped turning up to train.
Yeah. Well, it's actually kind of more incredible than that. So he went off on international duty and he just didn't come back for a bit. And Steve Bruce said, this is an actual quote from Bruce, before this latest incident, Zaki had already been fined considerably more than the average person in Britain earned in a year, and he will now face another heavy fine. But Bruce said that repeatedly fining him didn't seem to alter his poor behaviour at all, and that he was the most unprofessional player he'd ever played with. But it was an amazing... It was like a switch flipped, wasn't it? He was banging these goals in. He was brilliant, as you say. Everyone was saying he was this phenomenon, and then just straight away, when, like the veil's lifted a little bit. It's like he can't really be bothered.
Because I remember it was about the international year. It was if he sort of went back to Egypt. Everyone there was like, "Amir, you're incredible," and he was like, "Yeah, open the beer. let's just get Amir." I don't really know what happened to him after that. I don't think. I mean, I don't know whether they cancelled the loan or.
Well, he ended up becoming a bit of a journeyman, going to a lot of different places, and he unfortunately, it seems like, you know, there's a side to his character that's quite unpleasant in that he was being linked to Portsmouth, but because Portsmouth had signed an Israeli player and had an Israeli director of football, as well as an Algerian player, Zaki was very, very open about how he didn't want to play for them for that reason. So I was like, you're a proper dick.
You know what? The team of
I'm going to assume you didn't know that.
No, I didn't. I really didn't. I largely like Amir Zaki because he is the perfect reference now for when you're 6 weeks, 7 weeks into a season and this player's come out of nowhere and they look like the best thing since sliced bread, and you can go, remember Amir Zaki.
Yeah.
You know,
it is a very specific Because there's a lot of players like that where Michu would be a good example.
Yeah.
Where it was a season.
But he lasted a while though, Michu. It was about 18 months. I remember Arsenal were always linked with him, weren't we? But yeah, I mean, he was just so quick.
Yeah.
Zaki. I mean, quick with his feet, but I mean, the fall from grace.
Yeah.
So, and Steve Bruce is also such a hilarious manager to have.
What
to
a
deal
combination,
with
yeah.
Like I think anyone who's seen Steve Bruce give a press conference when he's got annoyed with a journalist before will be able to perfectly picture Steve Bruce's face. Like,
yeah.
The incredulity on his face of like having to deal with this man.
But also knowing that he's got nothing in his little Steve Brucey locker that can really do anything. I find him. It doesn't seem to matter. Like, it just keeps behaving like this. I might have to raise my voice.
More than the average person in the UK would earn in a year. That's such a... I mean, Adrian Mutu's been like fined £17 million. Yeah. Like, most people are used to the fact that the amount of money that footballers usually get fined is insane because the money they earn is insane.
Yeah.
Steve Bruce still finds it necessary to point out that it's quite a lot more than normal people usually deal with.
I like the idea that Zaki would just be like at Mutu in your team. It's like, what are you complaining about? I get fined all the time.
Yeah. Well, this is it. It's someone for Adrian to speak to.
Don't go here, Valencia. He has done well. Trying to pick out Zaki. That is magnificent. What a goal from Amir Zaki. Wigan in front again.
It took a long time getting it in, but you won't see a better finish anywhere than this. Absolutely stunning.
So we're going to move on to your sub, who will also be cold because obviously he's not getting on the pitch that much. And as is tradition here on Fantasy Five Aside, that sub cannot be a professional footballer. Who have you gone for?
Gone for Ollie Mears.
It's clever.
Because
he's got a bit of...
He's a great footballer.
He's a Soccer Aid veteran at this point,
isn't he? He's a Soccer Aid veteran. He's played more football than... Well, probably more football than Amir Zaki.
And let's be honest, Amir Zaki won't know that he's not a footballer.
No.
In fact, probably only John Terry will know that he's not a footballer. Guendouzi's just not concentrating, so...
Yeah, Guendouzi's having a fight with the ball. Like, he's... I love Soccer Aid. I don't know about you.
It's fun, yeah.
Oh my god! Like, and I, the thing is that there are sort of like smaller forms of like, you know, quote unquote celebrity football matches. I don't know about you, but for me, that is the main. If you could say to me, how big would you want to be? It's to be able to play in one
aid.
Of those. I mean, like Soccer Aid. I'm not ambitious enough to think I could ever play Soccer.
But you never know, man. Put yourself forward for it. There's been some weird people in Soccer Aid.
Yeah, I know. But is it Ben Shepherd who always does the
Ben
really
Shepherd's,
nasty challenges?
Yeah, Ben Shepherd's a bit of a sort of regular hatchet man, isn't he? It's Jonathan Wilkes, who is just Robbie Wilkes. Williams' mate.
Yeah, well, I mean,
he played in it a lot.
That's one of the main reasons I'd want to do it, because the England team, I mean, the last time I watched, it was Sam Allardyce, whose assistant managers were also Robbie Williams and Bradley from The Chase.
Well, why don't you just DM Bradley from The Chase when you're drunk? And you never know, it might get you on there.
Meet me in the Nag's Head 10 o'clock tomorrow. We've got to talk tactics.
Bring your boots.
Yeah. I had for a very long time. I used to use Facebook. My cover picture was what's his name? Bradley. What's his name? Bradley from The Chase.
I don't know. Bradley Walsh.
My cover photo was Bradley Walsh, Robbie Williams, and Sam Allardyce as the Holy Trinity.
Nice.
I've got someone to edit them as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
So it's a proper ambition of yours to do Soccer Aid.
I'd love to do Soccer Aid, but that's why I'd have Ollie Mears in. That's the largely...
Little audition for you.
Well, the idea was that, you know, Amir would behave himself. He'd be on the pitch doing the business, and me and Ollie could network on the sidelines. Mm.
You've picked the worst team if this is your plan, then, because they're getting sin binned all over
the
place.
Yeah, that's very true. That is very true. I hadn't really thought about that, but yeah, they would get sent off.
Well, then I suppose though maybe you can bond over the fact that you know you guys can actually bloody take this seriously.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I don't want Ollie to think that I can't play.
Of course,
I want him to see that I can. I've got a bit,
because he's decent as well.
He's so good, man.
He's quick, and he's
usually. I mean, a lot of the time in those Soccer Aid games, there's ex pros that come on for England. Ollie Mears is always better than them. Like, it was Ollie Mears, and he's a really tall guy who plays in goal all the time.
I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Okay, but there's surprise, there's a tall guy that plays in goal.
Yeah.
But the keepers are good. But Ollie Mears, brilliant. Like, tricky, quick enough, like like properly plays the game as well. Do you know what I mean? Like properly aware of everything that's going on. He'll call for a foul if he gets taken out. Like, I really like Ollie, man. Nice guy as well.
Seems to be.
I mean, you're originally Essex as well.
Yes,
but he seems to be your brand of Essex. You know?
Oh, you think? I think that's a compliment.
No, I mean,
in that, like, there's no tribal tattoos, no spray tan,
right,
no white teeth.
Right. It's
bleached teeth, I should say.
No bleached teeth. It's the sort of favourable side. I don't know where the nicer parts of Essex are.
There are many. It's a very beautiful county, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a nice rural place, isn't it? You know, Epping Forest and all that. But yeah, I think he's the presentable face of Essex.
Yeah, you know? I would broadly agree with that. One of the things I love about Soccer Aid as well is sometimes it goes to penalties. And Woody Harrelson scoring a penalty, just the concept of that alone is brilliant. And also, you know, how have they got Woody Harrelson? Sometimes they get some absolutely amazing people. It's to be admired.
It makes you wonder whether he really knows where he is. Do you know what I mean? Like what was that email? Do you know, like, how do you explain to Woody Harrelson that you want him to play against a team managed by Sam Allardyce, you know, Bradley from The Chase and Robbie Williams, some point he's going to have to take a penalty and you're probably going to have to tell him what a penalty is. I don't imagine he really knows much about football.
It's a brilliant job by whatever production assistant has done that, isn't it? Job that is. So that's an excellent team, Jacob. I think you probably lose against some of the teams we've had, but not all of them.
Have you got some genuinely good teams?
We've got some genuinely good teams, but they're always mixed with, you know, a bit of a wild card here and there. But I think these guys would actually, they'd be so difficult to break down that I think actually, you know what, I'm going to revise that. I think they might give people a bit more trouble than I initially expected because there's some real talent in there. Do you want to plug Jacob Hawley on drugs? Should probably make clear you're not taking drugs in the show. It's just a very clever, cheeky title, isn't it?
Ever. I don't want to get fined like Adrian Muti did.
No, you don't.
I don't want BBC Sounds taking me through the through the courts.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on, Jacob.
Cheers.
And see you guys later.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.